Anybody here like me love a good routine? I see a lot of hands and giggles. I take that as a yes. Oh, routines are great. Love them. Recently, however, our household is going through some routine changes. I don't know, some of you may know, but if you didn't, Tosh a couple years ago decided to go back to school and obtain her master's degree. And with that, over 2 years' time, I've determined and have come to the realization that I sure did set up a lot of routines that I just did on my own. With her out of the picture of doing household chores and grocery shopping, laundry cleaning, yard work, etc., I sure got in a routine of doing things by myself. But we're going through some changes in the Shelson household with new routines because someone now wants to help. Would you like some examples? Recently, we went to Sam's Club. And there is a certain way you should enter and proceed through Sam's Club, if you didn't know. And yes, I have perfected it. I find it best, I'm thinking about the one right up here in Pinellas Park, walk through the doors, straight as far back as you can go, and make a left, because I'm going to avoid the AT&T people that try to talk to me. Yes. I got an amen right here. Well, recently Tosh went with me, and that wasn't the route we took. So, yes, we had that awkward conversation with the AT&T salesperson about how I should change my Verizon over to AT&T. As I'm walking past, who are you with? I'm good. Oh, no, you need to go with us. No, I'm fine. Thanks. You don't want to be a jerk, but, you know, I'm like, oh, Tosh. I'm like, Nick, just so you know, next time the routine is this. We come in, we go straight back, we make a left, then we can go back to the food area because we can avoid that. She's like, oh, yeah, that tracks. That's a good routine. I'm like, yeah. I have a process for everything, including going to Sam's Club. I'll share one more, although I have many. Laundry. Now, I have a certain process with laundry, as I've been doing most of the laundry. And I came home one day to Tosh saying, oh, hi. Well, she didn't really do it like that. No, not really, were you? She did say hi, though. And she said, hey, I've been helping you with the laundry. I'm moving laundry for you. I took the stuff out of the dryer. I put it on the bed. And I put the stuff in the washer and the dryer. And I'm like, oh, thanks. As I look, I see what I knew I was going to see in a pile of nice, fresh, clean clothes. We have four black cats. One of them, Ellie. She can hear laundry drop from the basket onto the bed from miles away. It's amazing. And so if Ellie hears that, because she can hear it, even if she's sound asleep in the garage, for example, she's like, ooh, fresh clothes. And I knew it. I look over, and she is sound asleep, curled up right in the midst of our clean clothes. So please pardon any black cat hair you might see on me today. But I'm like, Tosh, thank you, but there's a routine here. You have to fold the clothes because this is what will happen. You see Ellie? She's having a really good time with our clean clothes. So those are just two examples. I could go on. I'll be available after church on things that I'm having to retrain Tosh to do around the house. But I think you get the idea. I like a routine. She totally has ruined my routine in some things. She's the routine ruiner in our house right now. And although I'm very grateful that she's back and can help, it's just a lot of training I have to do. But it's hard to change a routine, right? You're like, oh man, doggone it, cat. Oh man, AT&T person, you know. It's hard to change a routine when we have that thing that works for us. We're like, oh yeah, this is great. I know exactly what I'm going to do here. And then when a curveball is thrown, sometimes it's hard to handle the curveball. Luckily for you today, my sermon is about my issues with laundry and Sam's Club. We are going to get to the spiritual meaning of this. Because when I was thinking about this on a spiritual level, obviously, there is a lesson to be learned. changing of our routine in our spiritual life, when God throws curveballs at us, helps us grow spiritually. It gets us out of that comfort zone and blasts us into the unknown sometimes. But that's how we grow, and that's how we learn about God and ourselves and our relationship with other people. We may be, spiritually speaking, going through life, got a nice little routine. I'm hitting Bible study. I'm going to church. This is great. I got things going. And then, bam-o, God throws a curveball. Anybody ever have a curveball thrown in their spiritual routine? Yes. Although it's not fun sometimes, it is what is necessary for us to get out of that routine, for God to work in our life so we can see God, so we can grow. And this morning, I was thinking about who in the Bible can I talk about who had a routine change, like he was just going through life or she was just going through life, and all of a sudden there was a routine change. And I thought of Moses in Exodus. God kind of ruined his routine. God was a routine ruiner for this guy in a big way. And we pick up the story today. We're going to go through chapter 3, 1 through 17, then I'm going to go to 4 and read 1 through 17 there too, so we can learn about Moses. But I want to set the stage here as we see Moses at this point. For 40 years, he's been doing the same thing. 40 years, he's been a shepherd for his father-in-law's sheep. And he's tending to the flock of Jethro, and life is good. Right? He's just chilling. 40 years of a routine. He's married. He's got a son. Seems to me life couldn't be better. And then all of a sudden, in the form of a burning bush, God ruins his routine. Let's read about it. So let's start at 3, 1 through 17. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire but did not burn up. So Moses thought, I don't know why he thought this, but I'll go over there and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, I'm out of here. No, he didn't. He said, here I am. Pastor Jamie would have said, I'm out of here. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Wow, not a normal routine day Moses is having right now, right? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be there with you. And this is the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you, which is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now let's go to chapter 4 and read those scriptures also, 1 through 17. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. That he runs from. I get that. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that you may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, here's a third one. Take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, as one final request here, oh Lord, please send somebody else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and said, okay, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. There's Moses' totally typical routine day, right? A whole encounter with God. You got to be kidding me. Talk about an unroutine day and God being a routine ruiner. But with this encounter, we see the start of Moses being the guy who's going to lead God's people out of Egypt. Through this experience, in one of the biggest of ways, God blasted him out of his comfort zone and sent him on an unroutine request. And we see through these scriptures, as I was reading them over and over again this week, and kind of thinking about these scriptures, we see Moses learn some things about God, right? We see that he starts his relationship with God here, and we see some things. I can pick out some things that Moses is learning about God. First and foremost, we see that he sees and he understands that God is holy and to be revered. In verse 5, in the first chapter I read there, chapter 3, we see God tell him, hey, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. And he didn't say anything different, man. Those sandals came off out of respect and his reverence for God. He understood where he was in that presence of God. And he learned right then and there, man, God is holy, is to be respected, it is to be just revered and worshiped. He was so scared of the power, the holiness that was happening around him that scripture even tells us that he hid his face, right? He didn't want to even look on it because he was afraid of what would happen to him. It's such a holy, beautiful place. It shows his submission. When he took off those shoes or his sandals, it shows his submission to God and God's holiness. He was in full communion with God at that moment, man. What an awesome and beautiful moment this was for Moses to be just talking to God. Can you imagine it? Right there with that burning bush, not being consumed, but on fire. Wow. He was having a special life-changing moment right here. And he learned that God is holy, holy, holy in his very unroutine kind of day. He was just supposed to be out watching sheep, really. The second thing I think he learned, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for a fact, but my assumption is he's going to lean on this one when he learns this about God, that God is compassionate towards his people. We see here that God says that I have heard their cries. I've seen their treatment by the Egyptians, and I don't like it one bit, and it's time. I've heard it, and it's time that I act. Moses learns of a compassionate God who wants to save his people through whatever means is possible. We see a God in the scripture, and Moses did too, I'm sure, who yearns to rescue his people and save them. I have a feeling, as I said at the beginning of this point, that Moses leaned on that later. If you know much about the Israelites and Moses' trip through the desert, we know that these people caused him a lot of grief and pain, both him and God, right? And I have a feeling there were times he's in the desert about to say, I'm done with this, and he remembered, oh, but God is so compassionate. He's so holy and so compassionate. He'll do anything to save these people, and I need to do the same. I think he leaned on that knowledge of God and what he learned about God in that special, special sacred moment. And then thirdly, I think he realized and learned that God believes in him even when Moses doesn't. Do we hear the excuses that Moses talked about in here, right? He had a lot of excuses, and I honestly don't blame him. He says in chapter 3, he says, okay, who am I supposed to say sent me? Like, who am I? And who am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say to these people? He also said, what if they don't believe me? They're not going to believe me, even if I say who sent me. They're not going to believe me. Then he also goes on to his slow speech thing later in chapter 4. He talks about how I'm slow to speech. I'm clumsy with words. They don't come easy to me. How am I supposed to talk to people? Even if I get there, how am I supposed to talk to people? I cannot talk. And then finally, his last plead, which I really like, was the whole, for Pete's sake, please just send somebody else. I beg you. Somebody else. Anybody else. Give me somebody. Give me anybody. But God believed in him. He knew he had picked this guy for the right reasons. He was chosen by God to do this special mission. No matter what excuse Moses started firing at him, he still believed in Moses and his ability to do this task. He tells him he has an answer for everything. God has an answer for everything. Just so you know, if you have a million excuses for God, he's got a million answers for you, okay? Just so you know. Don't argue. We learn here, it's not worth it. And I've learned in my life, just take my word for it, it's not good. Just don't argue with God. He's going to win. Going to win the argument. We see God tell him, okay, yeah, say I am sent you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see God prepare him with some miracles, three of them, that he can show to the people if they are doubting. Well, first, I like that he showed it to Moses so he believed, and then he could show it to the people in case they doubt who sent him. We also hear God kind of lecture him like, if I'm sending you to this and I need you to talk, I created your mouth and your tongue. I'm probably going to give you the right things to say, and I'm going to give you the ability to do so. But then after Moses is still arguing about that, God's like, fine, okay, I'll give you your brother. He can do the talking for you, all right? Now go and stop arguing with me. But Moses is like, but I had my nice 40-year routine. Oh, man, I just want to go back. Thank you for the job offer. I really appreciate it. But I'm going to have to decline. I've got some sheep over here. Jethro's going to need me, so talk to you later. Nope. Didn't happen that way. Because God knew the guy he picked was right. Moses, in this interaction, learned about God. And he learned that God believed in him and gave him all the tools that he needed. And he needs them, every single one of them. Moses learned a lot about God in this burning bush incident, wouldn't you say? Just a few things, there's probably more. He definitely learns along the way. But the point here of this morning is, we have to have these kind of moments with God in order for us to learn about God and for us to grow spiritually speaking. We can't just stay in our normal 40-year routine of being a shepherd and having the family and all that stuff. When God calls you to do something and get you out of your routine, it's going to happen. And those are the moments we should say, thank you for getting me out of the routine. Thank you. Because that is the start of our relationship getting deeper with God. That's what happened to Moses here. It's the start of a beautiful relationship. Wasn't perfect. Moses wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But it starts a great relationship. What he learns about God here starts a beautiful relationship with God. And that's what we need too. Those moments in our life when we have routines and someone doesn't do it and the cat's laying on the the cat's laying on the clean clothes, those are opportunities, spiritually speaking, to grow and grow deeper with God each and every time. They're not bad things, these routine ruining things that God throws in our life. We need to look at them as good things. They're good things to help us be who God created us to be and to help us to do his work. That's what Moses is getting ready to do right now. Don't you want those irreplaceable, life-changing moments with God in your life? Don't you want those? They're probably going to take you out of your routine then, just so you know. And that's good. That's a blessing. That's what I want for each one of you individually. That's what I want for this church as a collective whole. Those life-changing things to keep us growing. Even if it takes us out of our routine. So I ask you guys this morning. When was the last time you did something out of your routine for God? When was the last time God asked you to stop your routine or change your routine? Did you have a million excuses for him? And did he answer you? Because he probably did, if you were listening. When we step out of our comfort zone and break our routines to do what God wants, that's when we grow and learn. And this church is about spiritual enrichment and growth, correct? So when you see those times come to you, those routine breakers, those things that you weren't expecting, those curveballs, let's look at them in a different way now. Those are things that can get you closer and closer to God and to our Savior, Jesus. It's what God wants for you. It's what I want from you. It's what all the pastors in this church want for you, for all of us, is to get closer and closer through those things. When we let go of our routines and we let God do what he wants and ruin those routines, we get deeper and deeper in a relationship with him. Do that for me, okay? Allow God to take your routines, blast them, so you can grow deeper and deeper and closer to him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the message this morning and the fact that you use things that we don't see coming in our lives to grow us closer and closer to you. God, I ask that you forgive us for when we don't listen to you and we want to stay in our comfort zones and we're stubborn and we just dig in our heels, God. Help us to be people that can be moldable and used by you, God, and to not worry so much about the routine, but worry about what you want to teach us and how you want to grow us closer and closer to you. God, I thank you for giving us multiple chances every single day, God, to just get blasted out of our routines. And I ask, as this week is coming upon us, that we think about this. And when those times come, God, we have a different attitude towards this. Help us to have those burning bush moments in our lives, God, and realize them for what they are. And those are for opportunities for us to get closer to you and to love you more and to feel your love more. In Jesus' name, amen.